This is the log of Magnus Carter. The crew of Space Force are in the depths of the Golden Planet, a remarkable asteroid which orbits the Sun in a regular path less than a million miles from the red planet Mars. We have been brought here by our captors, the ancient Martians, or Cometians. This is the Cometians' Royal Cemetery, and as royal servants, we are expected to be buried with the dead king. We are determined to escape, however, and will if Saxon and Chipper can reach the Sunboat before the Cometian High Priests take off.
Come on, Chipper. You've had experience opening portcullises.
It's finally balanced. Once it starts moving... There. There she goes. Oh, that's one. There's the other. That leads to the boat grade.
Yeah, well, we must put our masks on first in order to breathe.
Not with the roof closed.
I can't take a chance now. Put it on.
Okay. There. How's that?
Good. You hearing me?
Loud and clear.
Then let's open portcullis number two. One more push. Now.
There's the boat grade. Oh, blimey.
They've gone. Back to Kemet. Without us.
I knew we couldn't trust those two. Now what do we do?
I don't know. With no boat to fly us out, we're stuck here for the rest of our days.
Space Force, an intergalactic adventure by Charles Chilton, starring Barry Foster, Nigel Stock, Nicky Henson, and Tony Osoba. Episode 6, Unto Death and Beyond.
Saxon, can you hear me?
Yes, just, go ahead.
Did you find it?
We found it, all right.
And do many occur and no threat?
No, nor the boat.
So what do we do now?
We'll come back to you.
Then mark the route well. Find a way round the banqueting hall, not through it.
Why?
The food and drink were poisoned. Nearly all the royal entourage are now dead.
Good God.
A handful of retainers who knew better than to eat the food are busy carrying them to their appointed doom.
Oh.
Then they've sworn to lay themselves in their own coffins and take the fatal draught. One of them said we die in order that we may continue to live.
We'll find another way back. Then we'll hold a council of war and plot our next move. So, that's the plan. Move to the other apartments, taking as much of the king's furniture as we need to keep us comfortable.
And his food?
Yes.
How long will it stay fresh?
2 or 3 weeks. No longer.
And in that time, we have to find our way to the surface.
And then?
Oh, heaven knows. But remember, carry your animal masks at all times. If we should be lucky enough to break out, they are our only means of survival. Hello, Magnus.
Roderick and I have made an incredible discovery.
Oh, what's that?
A war painting.
A painting?
Is that all?
You don't understand. It's a painting such as I've never seen. You must come and look at it.
What's so special about it?
I think it contains the answers to many questions that have puzzled us these last few months.
Such as?
Who the Cometians are, how they got here, and their links with Earth.
It tells you that.
A couple of days studying and interpreting the picture script would tell me a great deal more.
Where are you?
End of number 7 gallery. Bottom of steps leading from corridor reached by the left hand fork.
We'll be with you soon.
I must admit it is very remarkable.
And very ancient.
Why so many boats?
They're all sunboats.
Just like the one we came in.
Yes, a whole fleet of them. And all packed with people.
You can interpret that picture writing.
Yes, I think I can. May Anker was a good teacher.
Well, don't take too long. We haven't the time.
I realize that.
And while you're doing it, we'll carry on exploring. You'll be all right alone. I'd like Loderick to come with us.
Oh, perfectly all right.
Come on then, Chipper. And you, Loderick.
Right.
Let's see what we can find. Corridor leading upwards would be most encouraging.
downwards, always downwards. We'll soon be at the very centre.
A few hundred miles before we get there.
Do you know something?
Hey?
I think the walls are beginning to glow. Look, how far can you see ahead?
I thought it was my eyes getting used to the darkness.
I wonder where this leads to.
Straight to hell. The way's steep enough.
Hell or high water, let's follow it. Come on.
Hello, Saxon. Receiving you loud and clear.
Hello, Magnus. What do you want?
I don't want anything. You called me.
No, we didn't.
But I distinctly heard.
I must have switched the intercom on by mistake. You heard us talking.
Oh, sorry.
Call you again later.
Right.
It's getting brighter.
And hotter.
The walls are positively glowing.
You could read newsprint by this light.
I've never heard of anything like this down on Earth.
Except in volcanoes.
Ah, but there the heat would be unbearable. Here it's a little hotter than the summer sun.
Maybe that's what it is. The sun.
What?
Glowing rocks lie inside the sun.
Gas, Chipper. There are no molten rocks in the sun.
Oh. Well, what about the rock and the anchor? Mary Anchor always called it the sun stone.
Maybe this is where the Cometians mined it.
Then why didn't they replenish their ships and all the anchors the priests carried?
Receiving you.
Magnus.
Hello?
I didn't call.
But I distinctly heard you.
Perhaps we'd better come back.
No, I'm sorry. You carry on. I'm all right.
You sure?
Absolutely.
All right. Let's get on.
I don't think we can go any further. It's getting too hot.
How deep are we?
About a mile, I'd say.
What must the temperature be like a few miles below here?
We'll press on a little further, just as far as we can see.
How far is it?
Oh, about 1,000 meters, I'd guess, to where the gallery begins to bend.
Oh, I'm having difficulty breathing.
Me too.
Well, put on your mask. See if that helps.
Yes, much better.
Ludric?
Much easier.
Then let's go.
It stretches on forever. It's brighter and hotter.
Oh, look!
What?
A mummified body walking towards us.
Where?
There. No, it's gone.
So quick, after it.
Hey!
Come on, Chipper, there's no such thing as a walking mummy.
But I saw it. Oh, white, like it was bandaged from head to foot in a horrible round hole for a face.
Did you see it, Ludwig?
I caught a glimpse of it. It was certainly all white. It retreated as soon as it saw us. Yeah. This is about where it is.
Well, there's no sign of it.
Well, it was here.
Well, maybe it's... There's another gallery leading off this one. No, nothing.
Could be another turning off that.
Well, if we indiscriminately follow every turning we see, we'll get lost for certain.
And roasted.
Yes. We've come far enough.
Hey, you're going to let that thing get away?
Well, whatever it was, it was not a mummy. Now let's get back to where it's cooler. Where we can take these masks off.
Well, there's a Turkish bath down there.
Hello, Magnus. Magnus. Saxon calling.
Commander Berry, where are you?
You know where we are. Wait a minute, that's not Magnus.
Magnus? No.
Who is it?
This is Rogers, captain of freighter number 2.
Rogers?
Rogers?
Captain Rogers?
I can't believe it. Where are you?
I'm in freighter number 2, 20 miles above the surface of a golden asteroid. Is it true that you're on it?
Yes.
Then you could be in great danger.
More than we are already.
I sent Lieutenants Emery and Aldred down. Emery reports seeing animal-headed humans inhabit the galleries, so be on your guard.
That's us. He saw us.
You?
Yes, wearing masks, and we saw him, then we lost him. How did you know that we were here?
Magnus. He heard us calling each other. He thought it was you. Now wait where you are. How can Emery and Aldred locate you?
At the end of the long gallery.
And this is where you've been living? In a tomb?
All tombs are replicas of the places where the deceased lived during his lifetime, Lieutenant. This is the replica of a palace, hence all the ancient luxury.
I suppose this is all connected with that spacecraft we sighted.
Spacecraft?
Yes.
What did it look like?
like an ancient boat flying through the sky with an unbearably bright light shining from
it. A sun boat. That's the one that Lodrick repaired, which brought us here from Mars.
Where did you see it?
Just after we sighted this planet. We thought it must have come from here.
It did. But what are you doing in this area anyway?
On our way back to Mars. Well, we hadn't heard from you since you landed there. We were coming back to see why.
Thank goodness you did.
There's something very strange about this asteroid.
Oh?
It has a powerful magnetic field, all concentrated in the core, which is very large.
It's a sunstone. What's that?
Show him, Chipper. Open the anchor, but be careful.
What the? Is it a laser beam?
We don't think so, but it's very powerful. The people we met on Mars used it, and not only for light, as a weapon, and to drive their sunboat through the sky.
People? On Mars?
Yes.
They must be very advanced.
Not at all.
No, they're primitive.
They appear to have hardly left the Bronze Age, or the Stone Age even.
Yet they have all this technology.
They have it, but they haven't the slightest idea how to handle it.
Then how did they come by it?
That's the great mystery.
But not for much longer.
What? Why not, Magnus?
That wall painting we found. As I said, it explains everything. Or will do when I finish translating it.
While I worked as fast as I could, interpreting the huge painting in Gallery 7, Saxon showed the wonders of the golden asteroid to Emery and Aldred. Then, finally, I summoned everyone to a meeting to be held in the comfort of our luxurious, if sepulchral, quarters.
Let's hear your theories then, Magnus. We're all ears.
The painting is an historical document. It tells where the Cometians came from and what has happened to them over the last 10,000 years or so.
10,000?
That's when they first introduced the Earth to civilization.
What?
The Cometians did not originate on Mars.
And they have a flourishing civilization going under its surface.
They have now. But they originated on another planet entirely.
Where?
Where the main asteroid belt now orbits, between Mars and Jupiter. The golden asteroid we are on is all that's left of it.
What happened?
Its orbit was a little too eccentric. It moved a little too close to Jupiter and became subjected to the gravitational influence of that giant planet. That proved fatal. Jupiter not only pulled the golden planet out of its original orbit, it caused its interior to boil. Great volcanoes erupted and spewed the golden inside over the surface. The orbit became more and more eccentric, and as it did, so the planet's path round the sun became more elongated. Soon its orbit was similar to that of a comet, and it was returning to the area of Jupiter only once in 100 years. Each time it returned, if its orbital position coincided with that of Jupiter's, it suffered dreadfully from the giant planet's gravitational pull. Finally, it was literally torn apart.
But what about the people who were living on it?
They realized that sooner or later, their planet must break up, so they made plans to leave it. They built a fleet of sunboats propelled by the powerful energized stone found beneath the golden surface and headed for Mars. Mm-hmm. As many as the boats could carry.
How many was that?
As far as I can make out, only a couple of hundred or so. Only two boats actually reached Mars. They found the planet so inhospitable they were forced to live under its surface, as they had done on the Golden Planet. In fact, they even duplicated the pyramids and underground complexes they'd known in their original home.
And did any follow these Martian pioneers?
I don't think so. The next time the Golden Planet passed close to Jupiter, it was split asunder. Its fragments, including the one we're on now, have been drifting in eccentric orbit round the sun ever since.
But how did those who reached Mars come to introduce civilization to Earth?
They found Mars so inhospitable, they decided to find a new place to live. They came to Earth.
When?
About 7,000 years ago. They landed somewhere to the south of the Nile Delta. They immediately felt comfortable. The golden sand reminded them of home.
Mm-hmm. Weren't there any people there already?
Only the most primitive of Earthmen. Hunters, mainly, with crude stone tools. The Cometians soon overcame them. But at the same time, they taught them the refinements of civilization. To sow and reap, to build, to control the waters of the Nile, to write, paint, and make music. In return, the Cometians ruled over them. They were the king gods of the ancient world, whose main ambition in life was to be taken back to the golden planet after death. Contact between the royal rulers down on Earth and their near relatives living on Mars was maintained. Whenever the golden planet returned to the asteroid belt, the Cometians on Earth and Mars tried to carry as many royal dead to the golden necropolis as possible.
Including some who have been dead for thousands of years, like Tutankhamun and Cheops.
Exactly. Mm.
One reason why Egyptologists find so many empty tombs is that the deceased have already been carried away by their Martian descendants, ready for transfer to Golden Comet.
But you said there are only two boats.
They are all that have survived. The power of the sunstone that drives them has slowly diminished. After 7,000 years, it must be nearly exhausted.
Like the sunstone in the anchor the king gave me.
Quite.
But they still have some power in them, possibly enough to get at least one boat to Earth.
And another from Mars to here.
And back, if that's where Marianka and Nofret have gone.
Where else?
We must get after them. Get hold of their ship.
What for?
For the sunstone, of course. It could completely revolutionize energy supply down on Earth.
And space travel. I thought you said the core of this asteroid was full of it.
It probably is, but how did you get at it without being roasted?
Somewhere in the ancient records, the method must be recorded. Wouldn't you think so, Magnus?
Yes, probably. Yes.
And Marianka is the man who knows where those records would be kept.
But right now, Marianka is back on Mars.
Right. Then we'll just have to follow him.
Switch to telescopic lens. We're closing in on the Martian surface.
Good.
And there's Space Force, just as we left her.
So I see.
There's the transporter, and you could just make out the solarmobile, see? Mm. On the sun side of the pyramid.
Looks like an ordinary hunk of rock from up here. Well weathered, too.
It is well weathered. Now, how many does this capsule hold?
Three, maximum.
Very well. Drop Lorik and me over near the pyramid, go back to Chipper and Magnus, and drop them near Space Force, which they'll board. Once we're in contact, we shall endeavour to salvage the vehicle.
What about the spacesuits?
Oh, they're deep inside the pyramid. We'll wear the masks.
Saxon, Chipper calling.
Hello, Chipper, receiving you.
Magnus and I are safely inside Space Force.
How does she look?
Sadly as we left her. Nobody's been in here.
Hi. Lodrick and I are at the base of the pyramid. We're about to collect the solar mobiles.
They appear to be exactly as we left them, too.
We'll lift them onto the transporter. Come on,
Wait a minute, look! At the base of the pyramid, a row of animal heads.
Good God.
There's at least 50 of them.
Keep calm. Do any of them have an anchor?
I don't know. I can't see.
Oh, mine's ready.
They're advancing. We'll never stop them all.
Be ready to run, then.
Too far to the vehicle. We won't... Look, Saxon, look. They're all prostrating themselves.
Bowing down to us.
Just approaching.
Hawk's Head, High Priest, it must be.
Son of Rachel Saxon, Lord of the Sunbird, the Eye of Heaven.
Our greetings to you, servant of Horus, keeper of the Holy Anchor.
Why are they honoring us?
I think I know.
The priests of Comet, having seen Saxon and Lodrick, were convinced the Earthmen had returned from the dead, and were overawed by their power. Once Saxon realized this, he and Lodrick decided to take full advantage of the situation.
Yes, it is true. We have returned from the House of Gold where it dwells in the Land of Truth. We have returned to collect our white body cases and to make offering at the boat's grave to the spirit of Re, son of Horus, called Natum. You have food and wine suitable for the occasion.
We will bring it, Lord.
We also wish to speak to Marianka, keeper of the sunboat, he who knows the ancient records of your race.
That is not possible. He and Nofret are no longer here.
Where are they?
They are journeying to Upper Kemet.
Upper Kemet?
Egypt. The Saqqara Pyramid. We must follow them there.
Hello, Freighter 2. Flagship here.
Hello, Flagship. Lieutenant Aldred calling.
We've taken off and are bound for Earth. You're quite clear about your duties from now on.
To rejoin Freighter 1 at the asteroid belt and continue constructing the Hayden-Howells observational platform in vicinity of Ceres.
Right. Space Force will rejoin the expedition as soon as our business on Earth is completed.
Message received and understood. Good luck, Space Force.
And to you. Over and out. Finish with the transmitter now, Chipper. What's the matter?
It's his anchor.
What's wrong with it?
It won't work. The stone's in there, but it doesn't emit any light.
Try opening it more.
Wide open. Nothing.
come to the end of its life.
When we reached Earth some months later, Saxon told our story to the space expedition's headquarters. It was received with a considerable amount of skepticism. However, at his request, we were allowed to return to Egypt, where, in collaboration with the Egyptian Department of Antiquities, we began a search for the lost tomb and the boat grave. Only Chipper and Lodrick had actually been there. They led the Egyptian antiquarians to the spot where they thought the boat grave lay, but hours of searching failed to reveal it. It was then decided to search from inside the pyramid.
This is it. I remember this door, with the writing all over it and a relief carving of Nofret.
This door is well known to us. It does not lead anywhere. It is false.
Oh, no, it isn't. What we need is a lever, a crowbar.
Like this?
The very thing. Now, place it here. Come on, Andre. Help me push it down.
Sure.
You can all help.
Right.
Push. Right. There. There she goes. Hey, what I tell you? False, eh?
Remarkable. Not seen for thousands of years.
We've seen it. We've been here before.
Then where are your footprints? This dust has lain undisturbed for centuries.
He's right, Chipper. No sign of your having been along here.
Then let us lead the way. That will show whether we've been here before or not.
Yes, lead the way. This is most extraordinary.
And here's the stone cupboard with the statue of the dead noble inside.
Ah, a serdab. A serdab. It is not a stone cupboard. It is called a serdab.
Yeah, well, I was just about to say that.
And where is the tomb?
That's next door. We have to lift another portcullis to get into there. And here's the sarcophagus, just as we found it.
But there is no coffin in it.
That's right. That's in the boat grave way below here.
This is the most incredible find. The biggest discovery since the tomb of Tutankhamun.
We may even find him if we're lucky.
What?
Come on. This way to the boat grave.
I can't believe it. 2 boots from one of such immense size. Nothing like this has ever been imagined. We shall have to rethink all we know about funerary boats.
Shall we go aboard?
No!
What?
No one is to go near those vessels.
But the whole point of our coming
these
down...
These boats have lain here for thousands of years. By now they must be extremely fragile. We cannot let anyone go aboard them.
It's very important for us to go aboard.
Not without written permission from the Department of Antiquities.
Who's authorized to give them?
I am.
Oh, well, in that case.
But I do not give it.
What?
I cannot allow such precious national antiquities to be damaged by amateur foreign archaeology.
We are not archaeologists.
Oh, precisely. We thank you for your assistance in helping us to find this monument.
But listen...
No! It must now be resealed until the department's experts can excavate it, value its contents, and have them removed for full archaeological examination.
This is absurd. We discovered it. You can't just let us...
It is the rule. All new archaeological discoveries may only be handled by the department.
That's ridiculous.
If ever the contents of this boat grave are put on public display, you will be more than welcome to be our honored guests and to view them. That is all.
In spite of all his arguments, Saxon was unable to break down the barriers put up by antiquarian officialdom. Neither was Space Force HQ, who also appealed to the Egyptian authorities on our behalf. So we returned our attention to Mars and landed once more on the Red Planet. Cautiously, we approached the well-weathered step pyramid and even found our way back into it. But there was no sign that any kind of life had ever existed there. Corridors appearing to lead into the heart of the rock were soon found to be impassable, the ways having been blocked by fallen roofs and other debris. After some weeks, we took off from the Red Planet and headed for the asteroid Ceres, where the crews of Freighters 1 and 2 had been working on building the observation platform. 3 weeks out from Mars, we received a long communication from Earth. Saxon summoned us all to hear its contents.
It's from headquarters. It contains a précis of a report issued by the Egyptian Department of Antiquities.
Oh, good. What does it say?
It says a warrant was issued for yours and Loderick's arrest.
What?
What for? It seems that in the large boat in the royal cabin, they found the body and coffin shrines of King Tutankhamun.
They thought we'd stolen them?
Apparently.
Why?
Because you were so knowledgeable about where the undiscovered tomb and boat grave were.
But when King Tut and the other one was stolen, we were spaceborne on our way to Mars.
When that was pointed out, they dropped the charge.
I think so. What else does it say?
It says that in the large boat they found, besides the king, the desiccated bodies of a priest and priestess. The priest was wearing the mask of the god Horus, and the priestess the lion head of the goddess Sekhmet.
Marianka and Lofret.
How long do they estimate that they've been there?
More than 3,000 years. They claim the boat grave has been undisturbed in all that time.
What?
All the evidence suggests that the boats, the boat grave, and Marianka and Nofret's corpses are more than 3,000 years old.
Then how did we get mixed up in it all?
I don't know. I've no idea.
Nor have I. Unless we've been caught up in some extraordinary time warp.
A time warp?
Of course. Magnus is right. Strange things can happen to time out here in space.
But if that's the case, how do we know we won't get caught up in it again?
Yes. And next time, we might not be so lucky.
In that episode of Space Force, Saxon was played by Barry Foster, Magnus by Nigel Stock, Chipper by Nicky Henson, and Loderick by Tony Osoba, with Willoughby Goddard, Wendy Murray, Bernard Brown, and Mia Soterio. Space Force was written by Charles Chilton and produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.